see anything you like.
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse.
There was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're Cinescare.
Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, finally, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Greetings and salutations.
Oh, God. He took the one that... Oh, fucking A.
Never mind.
He screwed that one up, didn't he?
Oh, what?
God. What? God damn it. Well, the first time we did this, when you were away from your computer, that is exactly the line that that Joe did.
But I did it well.
Yeah, he did it actually
no,
well.
Not
no, I do a really good Christian Slater.
That wasn't...
that sounded Heather. Like... That's,
do it again. Do it.
You sound like Marty McFly's dad.
You sound like Mr. Rogers.
Just calm down. Just hang on. Another fucking Heather. What?
What? Hey, I mean, you're Biff, saying the lines.
Get your damn hands off of her.
Good
Maybe
Lord.
Maybe we should just introduce Catherine and move along.
And with us as always as well is Catherine Horan.
Hello. You can hear me now, I hope.
Can
yes,
now.
We can hear you.
Was that your Christian Slater accent right there?
Yeah, it was much better than yeah. yours, right?
Greetings.
Her normal voice sounds more. Sounds more like him than your imitation does.
Wait. Okay. I'm gonna do my best. Right here we go. Jailhouse Rock was everything rockabilly's about. No. I mean, he is a rockabilly. Mean, surly, nasty, rude. I mean, in that movie, he didn't give a fuck about nothing. He was a rock and roll, living fast, dying young, living a good-looking corpse, you know?
Did everybody watch Obsession this week?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about Obsession.
No, wait. Before that, let's talk about something absolutely amazing.
What?
Cinescare are introducing for the first time, making it public tonight. And that, of course, is the IMBD. And we call it that because Mark, for some reason, can't say the IMDb. If you go to the Cinescare Horror website, cinescarehorror.com, you will notice in our menu bar, there is now a link that says IMBD. And mm-hmm. what that is we have been painstakingly working for what seems like years on building the Cinescare movie database, which is basically... every single movie that we've discussed since the beginning of this show over 5 years ago. So if we've talked about it, if we've recommended it, if we've reviewed it as part of the show, it's on here. And not only is it on here, but the episode numbers, the date that the episodes came out, the names of the episodes, who watched them, whether they were part of the theme or recommendation. So if you were a guest host on there, you're already in this database as well. And it's all searchable. So you can say, oh, I just want to know what was Matt's number one movie from 2023. You can find that in just like three clicks.
Yeah.
And thank you, Joe, for putting that all together.
Right. Yes.
You're very welcome. And thank you guys for your contributions.
Joe did most of the work on this, and it is something to behold.
I would dare to say we are the only horror movie podcast that has its own online database of every single movie that's been discussed.
We are the only ones.
Yeah.
All 1,948 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of movies. Yeah. And then, Joe did most of this, the lion's share. He put it together. He's also doing all the stuff on the website and everything. And then Catherine did the second most. She did it. She was able to go through and get a lot of the movies off of each episode. I did 10. Well, really nine, yeah. I guess. Yeah, because I screwed up one of them. And then Mark, I don't think did any, right? Mark didn't contribute one fucking thing to this. Is that what happened here?
I think he did some, although after about the fourth one that he had his girlfriend type up and send me, because he apparently doesn't do admin work, I started like double checking his work. And basically, out of the 10 that he submitted, I had to redo 7 of them.
Completely. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there were a lot of movies that I found out that, like, we discussed that you didn't have in your, like, markdown that we talked about.
Wait, I thought that it was just basically you have to listen to the beginning. You have to listen to the whole episode?
No. It was just the beginning. Once we started the theme, that's where I stopped. But in that opening, like, there were times where we would discuss, like, 3 or 4 movies, and you'd have, like, oh, Matt watched one, and...
How did you know that he screwed it up? Did you?
I went back and I did it. Yeah, I listened to the episodes that Mark was supposed to have done.
Why? Because there were like 2
over for him. Yeah, I'm like, come on. There's no way we only talked about 2 movies before the theme in this episode. Sure enough,
Mark.
Shannon's fired. She's fired.
Don't blame
that. I would blame it on Shannon.
No, this is 100% on you.
Look, I'm the talent. Okay, I don't do this greasy, you know, hard work kind of stuff. I'm the talent. I'm your bread and butter.
Mm.
Do you have crickets sound?
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Where is it? I don't have the crickets one, but I will do this.
Look, I'm the entertainment. Look, I'm not good with... Okay, I'm... Alrighty.
Or you could do the baby.
That's what I'm doing.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Heathers.
So anyway,
fucking Heathers.
Head on over to our website and take a look at the IMBD. It's gonna prove to be at least 5 minutes of fun as you scroll through this.
Well, sure.
It's a nifty little toy.
It's an achievement on Joe's part, because I mean, he's the one that came up with all of this, and I mean, just, you know, the dedication that Joe like put into this is absolutely like amazing. What do you? I'm literally giving
it's a bunch
Joe
of bullshit
credit.
Brown nosing. That's all it is. You didn't do
what
shit
do you mean?
For this thing.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I really do.
I managed to do 10 and do a master's
you
research.
You didn't do
10. Project.
You did 9, Matt. You did 9.
Okay, I did 9. And did them effectively, and a master's research project. You couldn't even do all of yours.
What the hell is a master's research project?
Oh, fucking A. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh,
you can find the answer to that question and many others in the IMDb.
Hey, Joe. Hey, yes, Matt. We can. Joe, what did you watch recently that we can all talk about?
I watched, this isn't horror related, but I finally finished the Daredevil Born Again series. Which I'm only bringing this up because of the next thing that I watched was kind of meh. It was not anything fantastic. However, in an answer
I'm
to
sorry,
that,
I didn't hear what you said because you were it you was were kind of breaking up. So what was it you said?
I watched Daredevil Born Again. It's not great. Oh. It's kind of milk toast. It's, you know, I wasn't all that impressed with it. However, because I finished that, I figured I'm going to watch this. It's just one single episode. It's like a one shot, I guess, in the comic book industry. It's The Punisher One Last Kill. Heard anything about this? Anyone else?
I
think Reznor told me about it.
Okay. So John Barenthal actually wrote this, and he's gone on record saying he's never going to play The Punisher again unless he's got full control over the character. And I actually had to go back and look to make sure this wasn't horror, because, which it's not, but I've seen more blood in this film than most horror movies we watched. It's only like, I don't know, 50 minutes long, 51 minutes long. And I guarantee you 25 minutes of that is nothing but a big, long action fight scene. And I will say there's a scene where he's in this store saving some people. And this giant guy comes in with a chain around his neck and no shirt, just covered with tattoos. And the Punisher kills this guy with a pen, a big pen. And I went back and counted. He stabs this guy 18 times with a pen. And the last one's like right in the jugular. There's so much blood in that scene. So this if you're a big gore fan, this is something you should take up and watch. I couldn't believe they Disney actually allowed it. I mean, they did put TVMA in front of it, but this is really quite controversial. Speaking of controversy, I also watched Predators, but not the Predators you think. I watched the documentary about To Catch a Predator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Remember that show from the 90s, 80s?
It's just a sleazy show. Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't say it's sleazy. It is.
I mean, it's just
they're glorifying themselves by, you know, entrapping these pedophiles, but
and it's just the whole
thing. It's the entertainment of it. This is your entertainment.
It's exploitation.
Like to watch sick people in their minds to do this kind of stuff, and it's like, and you're like eating a TV dinner watching it. It's disgusting.
But what's the documentary?
The documentary is about the making of the show, like how they did it, and most importantly, why they had to stop it. There was a district attorney in Texas who pretty much got caught before he even made it onto the show and killed himself. So that's when the producers decided, maybe we should pull the plug on this thing and stop doing it. But it was effective to the point that they scared a lot of pedophiles away from doing this. Mm-hmm. And then it got into the whole, there are copycats out there. There are guys doing it still today.
Right. And they have some really questionable methods too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so those are the guys that obviously I don't care about. The show was over and it should just die.
I saw something about that, and I think some of those people in the YouTube channels are even like not even present. It's like the people are getting caught and they didn't think that they were meeting up with someone underage or something like that. Yeah.
And you know, the original host was Chris Hansen. He's apparently still doing this type of thing nowadays with somebody else, obviously not on network television. But the guys that are doing it on their own on YouTube are basically saying, I want to be the next Chris Hansen. And those are the guys that are really just exploiting these people. They showed a couple clips of these newer guys on YouTube confronting these supposed pedophiles in hotel rooms. And what boggles my mind about this, they are not working with the police or the sheriff's department, on at least not until after they've confronted these guys. They could just get up and walk away at any time, but yet they just feel the need to stay there. It's like they're stuck in their seat when they could just get up and walk away and forget all about this. It's not like the old Chris Hansen days when the sheriff's department was standing right outside the front door waiting for them. So, but I don't know. It was kind of interesting. It was a bit long, hour and a half still. It's just kind of drone on for a bit, but it was worth a watch. I had access to Paramount Plus, so I figured why the hell not? So, and then lastly, like I said earlier, I watched Obsession in the theater.
Yes. Yeah.
We and all I did. I think
really, 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 really liked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what you like about it?
That I loved it. $750,000 and has made like $21 million. I keep seeing rumors that they're gonna put it on YouTube like in a week.
No,
it's June 2nd. It's gonna on YouTube. Oh, I heard that it's coming to streaming June 3rd or 2nd or something. But yeah, that's
that
all I heard.
Quick? There's no way they're gonna do that. I thought they've already made over $100 million.
No, they're at like 50 or 60 million now, I think, after this weekend.
Why would they take it out? There's traction going on with this.
Well, it's
film.
Not necessarily being taken out. I don't know. It might still be in the theaters, but it's coming to streaming next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what'd you like about it, Joe?
The acting by far. What's the girl's name? Indy Navarrete.
Yeah.
She's spectacular. Oh,
incredible.
Yeah. The storyline was great too. Most importantly, the subtle humor in this. I love when the main character is trying to go back to get another one of these willow branch things. And he's like, oh yeah, we're all gone. We're all sold out. And he's freaking out. He's like, well, I'm just kidding. They're right here. You know, it was a great tension breaker throughout. Yeah, it was great. But I again, primarily, it's Indy Navarette. She's just,
yeah,
they just uncovered so much talent in her. So unbelievably convincing. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great. I just looked it up. Apparently, the reports are that it's going to come to paid streaming, but you can purchase it or rent it on June 2nd.
Okay.
I don't think it's been officially announced, but that's the rumor. I thought she was fantastic. He was the guy was good too. He's a very unlikable character. I thought he's just a weak guy, and he was almost the monster of the movie in some ways, you know.
Right.
And I thought that, and I mean, he really was. I mean, she was hidden underneath whatever this creature was, almost like a possession because of the wish. And he kind of then was like, oh, this isn't as fun anymore because she's so obsessed with him. But I loved the ending. I thought the ending's fantastic. I thought it really nailed the ending. It was perfect. I put this up there It Follows, Hereditary.
Oh, wow.
I think it's in that category. And I think it's going to, you know, given time, I think it's going to be looked at in that way. It really made me think this is a really new voice. I just thought it was just incredible movie. It obviously shot up to my number one spot immediately. And my top three were three movies that I mean, Obsession didn't necessarily scare me. It was unsettling. Certainly it was very intense, but like Hokum I thought was scary. And I thought Undertone was scary. And so my top three this year, I think I like them all more than my number one last year, which was Weapons. I loved Weapons, but I think I liked all three of these. Weapons would be in there with maybe Undertone somewhere. They'd be battling for number three, but Hokum and Obsession, I already like that more than anything I saw last year. So this is a really, I mean, I think this is a strong month. I mean, my God, what just came out? Hokum, Obsession. And then this weekend Passengers. Is Backrooms.
Yep.
Backrooms is coming out. And then In a Violent Nature, I think, is coming out in June. So it's freaking just this is
we just had
notch.
The Mummy, too.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. The Mummy, which I haven't seen yet. And then, you know, as we go on, we're going to have Evil Dead. We're going to have Resident Evil, which the preview of that looks fantastic, too. So I think this is shaping up to be a really strong year. Mark, what did you think of Obsession?
It's my number one. I think the lead actress, can't remember her name. Joe said it, but lead actress. Indiana. I mean, she carried. I believe she carried the whole entire film. I don't know if the lead actor was actually like a villain, but man, did you absolutely just get frustrated with them. And because yeah. I mean, it's called Obsession, and it's not really her being obsessed with him; it's him being obsessed with her, and it's absolutely crazy, like how he just can't connect, how like everything what is happening is wrong, even when he finds out, oh, she's actually, you know, going after him because of this wish.
Right.
And he just can't turn it off. He can't, because he's obsessed with her. He's in love with her.
But yet he won't do anything to step to ask her out.
Correct. Correct. I love the dinner scene between them. It showed like her personality when she lied about something about her family, and she's just trying to make him love her, you know, as much as she loves him. And so there was a lot of like, you know, quirks and faults like in this young woman's head, you know, that she's just not this perfect girl. You know, she does have faults, and that was really nice to see. I can't believe a YouTuber directed his film. And I've seen some of the stuff he's done. Not the most impressive things I've seen. But this guy has, he has a love for horror, and the fact that he really did this film is absolutely just amazing. I love this film. I recommend seeing it. It is creepy. There are some shots where there are just, she's hidden in a corner and she's kind of popping out. It's, if you've ever been in a bad relationship where someone is not maybe mentally right, this is going to make you even just, it's going to make your skin crawl because it's very accurate. It's very accurate. So I loved it. I loved it.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but notice when I was going through IMDb or BD.
Oh, what the fuck?
That on episode 117, when Matt and I were discussing horror shorts, that you weren't on that episode, but there was one called The Chair that Curry Barker directed, which is spectacular.
It's great.
So I would suggest that you go find that one.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I know you didn't watch any episodes. I know you didn't listen to any episodes that you weren't in, but you might want to go back and listen to that one because there's a lot of good shorts that we watched in that one. Catherine, what did you think of Obsession?
I also really enjoyed this one. it's the monkey paw story, which we've all seen, you know, over and over again. It's nothing new, but I love how he put a new spin on it. The acting is fantastic. Like what Mark was saying, I like what he did in terms of playing with shadows. And, you know, I heard a lot of people kind of compare it to Pulse, the J-horror movie, with kind of what they do with creepy movements and things. And you definitely get that in here, which is cool.
Yeah.
I also like, on a personal level, just some of the ties to the Burbank area that are in this movie.
Yeah.
Which was kind
of
fun.
Tony's?
To see.
Little Tony's? That's North Hollywood, but Little Tony's is the restaurant. Little Tony's is the restaurant where he's on the phone with his friend and they're having dinner, and then she kind of steps out of the booth and is standing there. You know, you see her in the background while he's on the phone with his friend in the restaurant. And then there was another, the shop where he buys the one wish willow is this little shop called the Green Man. Right over here, and it's
where Dark Delicacies used to be, right next to
it's them. Right next door, to where Dark Delicacies used to be. So,
cool.
And then the fellow's Baron's house apparently is also in Burbank somewhere. So,
yeah,
that's kind of cool. I always like when I've got a connection to the places in the movie. This was fantastic. I agree, it's probably number one or hovering around number one on my list of best year's movies so far as well. So. Yeah, no, this was great. Definitely recommend it for sure.
I also want to point out his buddy Cooper Tomlinson, who's in most of his skits, was in this, played Bear's friend Ian. I've always thought that kid got talent too. So he was.
Yeah, they were all good.
He was a good, funny sidekick for the show.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, although I'm really curious how they got Andy Richter to get in this.
Oh, that was weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's out of the
last
blue.
Last person I had expected to see in this film.
Right? Yeah, the general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
That was a weird premise too. That they were all working in a music store.
Yeah, that was
a little outdated.
No music,
and they had so many staff there at the same time.
Yeah, it seems like I've never seen a music store that's had more than two employees.
Right. Yeah.
It's like High Fidelity.
I will say, I don't think this spoils anything, but any movie that starts with a cat dying and about halfway through, I'm like, oh, I like how they're bringing that back.
Yes.
Jeez.
So great. Anything else, Joe?
No, but I'm going to remember this dead cat thing for later.
Catherine, what did you watch? Anything else other than that?
The only other thing I watched was Ready or Not 2, which was fun. I remember Mark's review of that saying, you know, it was fine. You know, he said to wait for it for streaming, and so I didn't pay for it. But it was fun, you know.
What's it on?
It definitely builds on what the original movie is. It's nothing nothing new per se. You can kind of see where it's going. Everyone in the movie looks like they're having a lot of fun. I thought Elijah Wood was fantastic.
Yeah.
just his little winks or his little nods to the people were great. It's fun. It's definitely a nice popcorn movie. Nothing that's going to rock your world, but it was fun to watch. I'm glad I saw it.
What's it streaming on?
Nowhere officially yet. I...
Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh, you're one of those.
No.
Dun,
no.
Dun, dun. Catherine.
I borrowed it from movie theaters.
Oh, sure.
The only other thing I did is not horror related per se. But I went to go see Alice Cooper and Chris Angel in Las Vegas. They have a show going on and off. I think they've got it through this weekend and then they take a break and come back at the end of the year. But it's basically an Alice Cooper concert with Chris Angel doing magic tricks. And it's really cool. It's neat how they blend those two things together. So if you have a chance to go see him in Vegas, I recommend checking it out.
So obviously Chris Angel opens up for Alice Cooper. Obviously.
No, it's they do a show together.
Together?
Yes. Oh my God. Chris so he's Angel. Doing magic tricks that are within the song. So it's kind of, because Alice is very theatrical anyway. He's doing kind of his usual stage show. If you've ever seen him, you know, where he, you know, he does this thing with the straitjacket. He has the guillotine out where he, you know, chops his head off. So he's got all that kind of stuff anyway. And then Chris Angel just kind of brings his own kind of tricks to it and kind of enhances what Alice is already doing.
Fun.
Yeah. It was a good
That's
time.
That's cool. Mark, did you watch anything other than Obsession this last
couple
weeks? No,
I just watched Obsession. That was it.
All right. I watched the only really, I mean, I guess the only things that I saw or that I've been watching were TV shows. Chestnut Man, season 2, Hide and Seek is really strong, really good. Have you started watching that, Catherine?
No,
it's,
not yet.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. And it takes a couple turns you're not expecting at all. So I thought it was really strong. The Burrows, we just started watching that. I think we watched episode 1 and 2. And this is a Duffer Brothers show, the guys who started Stranger Things or whatever. They're producers. I don't know how much they're involved in the day-to-day of this one. But it stars... Alfred Molina, Bill Pullman is in it. It's got who's the woman from the A League of Their Own? Gina Davis is in it. It's got a whole bunch of older actors in it, and it's basically this retirement community, and Alfred Molina goes into this retirement community to stay there. And or to live there, his wife actually bought the house in this retirement community, but she died before, this isn't giving anything away because it happens before the show starts, but she died like a week before that he was supposed to be moving in there. And it's really pretty strong. There's something in this community. There's a kind of a nefarious thing going on with the community itself, but in this house that Alfred Molina moves into, there is something in the walls, this creature. So it's pretty good. I think so far we're intrigued by it. It's really great to see these older actors too. Doing stuff. I don't know. Alfred Woodard is also in it. I don't know for sure. There's another actor, but I'm not sure if it's him or if it looks like him, but now I can't think of his name. But anyway, it's definitely worth checking out, and the way the direction it's heading in, it looks pretty cool. So I just like seeing these older actors. You just see every show is always somebody younger, and these are older actors who were great and are, I think, really good in this too. And it gives you the sense of what it's like to be living, you know, towards the end of life and maybe facing death, but also facing the loss of your mental faculties and people not believing you and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting. I really like it. It's that makes it seem a lot heavier than it is. It's a little more I wouldn't call it lighthearted, but it, but there's a little more comedic side to it than that. But it's a really good show. I so far we've watched two episodes, really like it. And then of course Widow's Bay, continuing to watch that. Just such a, it's such a good show. And I know Joe, you've been watching it too. Yep. And this show is one of the best things on TV right now, I think. And I highly recommended it. Every episode, they're all, each episode's only like a half hour or so, mm-hmm. but or 40 minutes maybe tops, but each one has to do with, you know, this island is cursed and has to do with this aspect of the island, and it's great. You're enjoying it too though, Joe, right?
Oh yeah, I'm loving it. I'm only on starting episode 4, so I'm a bit behind, but I think everything I've seen has been great. I think they're on 5. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the new one is coming out tonight.
Yeah.
So I think they say it releases on Wednesdays, but they're available on Tuesday nights. So, But that's it. That's all I've been watching. So that brings us to, I should have done this one.
I wouldn't go that far.
To a series of picks that had me questioning whether I want to keep doing this show or not.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, you know, we've had episodes like Absolute Zero and Hardcore.
Your episodes.
Somebody's got to, you know, they can't all be like knock them out of the park. Fantastic film. It's just, it's not fun that way.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. This is fun.
We're not.
But Joe, introduce us to your pick.
We're not so uppity up.
I'm viewers. I'm celebrating an actor that we all know and love, Christian Slater. Yes. Hence the episode, Clean Slater.
What?
Now, I would like to point out this gentleman has done decent movies.
Yes.
You know?
A couple.
As a matter of fact, I did just watch True Romance.
Yeah, Joey.
But he's also, you know, he's been in other great film. Well, he was in Mr. Robot. I loved him in that, mm-hmm. but that was just a fantastic show altogether. He was in Hot Tub Time Machine 2, Hollow Man.
Broken 2, Arrow.
There's better
Broken
films.
Arrow.
Pop off the volume.
He was in Phineas and Ferb as a voiceover.
Joe.
Igor. Yeah, see, there's tons of great stuff that he liked.
Joe, there's more than that. He was in Cuffs.
He had a cameo in Zoolander. He was uncredited in Austin Powers as the easily fooled security guard. Who could forget that?
Joe, he was in The Name of the Rose with Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, yes, I'm well aware. Yeah.
Also,
Young Guns too.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, all the hits. So terrible. Anyway, we're gonna get right to it.
What are you talking about?
I thought this would be a
fucking
fun
movie.
Yeah,
that is not
this his be, performance. Oh god,
it's so not bad. The worst movie, Matt. We have three to talk about.
Oh,
so let's just God, I don't know where to start. It's got we got to do Alone in the Dark.
Well, that's, yeah, we got to do
get it out of the way.
Well, I know that, but like, what do I want to? So, Alone in the Dark, based on the video game, the synopsis is Carnby's. Whose name's their character? Carnby.
Matt's face
teams up with his ex-girlfriend,
right,
archaeologist Aline Cedric, who, of course, is played by the lovely, talented Tara Reid, and Commander Burke, who is, of course, played by the extremely talented Stephen Dorff, who we'll talk about again later. To investigate deadly supernatural creatures, and they must stop this ancient demonic entities from resurfacing and taking over our world. So if anybody's going to stop them, it's going to be our man, Christian Slater. I would like to say that this was also directed by Uwe Boll, and who also did, of course, House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, and Blood Rain, all based on really terrible video games. So, Matt, I'm going to hand this right into your ample hands. So let me know what you thought.
Fucking A.
Oh, this is terrible. I think this might have been the first one I watched, if I'm not mistaken.
It was my first one, too.
And somehow it got worse. I don't know how it got worse every time. I'll just put this out there. I am not a Christian Slater fan. I don't like him. I don't think he's very good in general. I think
he's
you're going to let me talk?
Yeah.
I just don't think he's very good. Like, he's fine. If he's in a good movie, he's a part of a good movie. I just don't think he's a very good actor. His shtick is just sort of, I liked Heathers. And I like, you know, True Romance is a good movie. I don't think he's great in it.
I'll mute myself right now.
Good.
Probably.
All I had to do is criticize, True Romance and he'll mute himself. I'm gonna try that more often.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of him. I don't hate him. I just don't see, I've never seen the love for this guy. It seems like he's doing a Jack Nicholson imitation and not very well.
It's the eyebrows.
Yeah, I guess. Well, and he's got the voice and all that, but, I mean, he's fine if he plays the dad. You know who I think of him as? And he's not a bad actor. It's not like I'm talking about Keanu Reeves or something here. But he reminds me of is the dad from the dad in and the funny thing is he played the character then, but he reminds me of the dad from Dexter in the original series. You know, the dad, like that actor and Christian Slater are very similar to me. And
he's literally playing dad in the original. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I get that. He played.
You can't even look at Mark. You.
I know. So at any rate, so this was not like I was thinking, oh, great, Christian Slater movies. There are two movies that I think I'm going to have a hard time remembering. And this is one of them. Actually, you know what? No, the first movie I watched was Mindhunters. And I was thinking to myself, it can't get worse than this, can it? Oh, but that was the best of these three, right? I feel like it was the best of these
definitely.
Three. Yeah. But Alone in the Dark. Okay. So this poor kid on the airplane's going to need some therapy after he talked to Christian Slater and that thing. He's like, oh, they're real, son. They're real. I'm like, why would you need to tell him that, though? You know, like, yeah, there are ways to scare him without, like, traumatizing him. Then there's delayed narration. I don't think the narration that I feel like the movie started off and then suddenly we've got narration and then there's no narration right until the end of the movie again. I think, is that right? Yeah. And then there's just a lot of dialogue that is, I feel like the exposition dumps happened throughout the movie. Like, it never stopped doing backstory and exposition dumps, and a couple security guards were really giving some backstory at the beginning. Tara Reid, I'm not, does she ever leave that museum at, like, ever? Like, every time anybody wants to find her, all they have to do is go to the museum and she's sitting there.
Well, she's a scientist, Matt. I mean, right, that's her life's work. Why would she leave?
Do. Yeah, that's true. And it never seems like she's doing science. She's just sitting at a desk writing stuff, it seems like, and that's about it. Also, memoirs. Her pants, I believe, this was the low-rise jeans era, and her pants looked like they were going to be showing butt crack any time.
Love those pants.
Let's see. At one point, the SWAT team comes in through a ceiling window I'm not quite sure why. What was the purpose of going in through the ceiling window? And then they have like a command center with a couple people sitting there, and one woman's got like her hat on backwards. They do not look like these are official people. No one in this movie looks official. Steven Dorff, I like Steven Dorff. He does horrible movies though. I think I like him though. There's something likable about him. I don't know why, but he always does bad movies. And it was great to see him in True Detective a couple seasons ago. Just because he finally got to do something that was worthwhile, but he just kept doing bad movies.
What season? What season was Steven Dorff?
Might have been season 3. It was the one.
The one I didn't see.
Yeah, it was. I think it was season three, maybe. It was a good. It was a return to form, I think. Let's see, Zenos. They call these things Zenos. That's too much of a ripoff
term.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. You wouldn't understand.
None of the actors in this movie are good enough to overcome this dialogue, though. Stephen Dorff is committing all the way, and Christian Slater's committing all the way. The dialogue is just so bad in this. It's been a while since I've seen dialogue this bad. This was not as bad as Zombeck's, I wrote, but it's not too far away. Zombeck's to me still is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. This is not far away. This movie felt like it was 5 hours long. I have no idea what's going on in this movie, and I'm kind of not even watching it anymore. At a certain point, about two thirds of the way in, I think I just kind of stopped watching. I got on my phone a lot. I couldn't figure out what was happening, and I just got lost. And then I don't know what any of this is about. And then I can't believe how many times people are firing their guns at nothing in this movie. They seem to be not, like, there's no concern for firing a weapon, but also no concern with, like, preserving your ammo, I guess. There's just people like they shoot at the floor. They're shooting, there was supposed to be something under some sand crawling along. Oh, this was a rough one. This one was really rough.
I think if you had paid more attention during the prologue, you would have gotten more of the story
with the narration. Yeah. Maybe.
So is that it? Do you have more to say?
No, I have nothing more to say about this movie.
Mark, for an opposing viewpoint, what did you think about your favorite movie?
Mark's going to like this. Is there going to be an opposing viewpoint for this movie?
I don't know if there's an opposing viewpoint of this. This movie's garbage. It's fucking shit. But is it, here's the ultimate question. Is it so bad it's good? It hits on some tones. It hits on some tones, Matt. It does. Look, when you have to explain the premise of the movie.
I'm glad you feel that it was so bad it's good, but I didn't get that feeling from any of these.
Explain the premise, Mark, because I'm with Matt. I had no idea what was going on this entire time.
Yeah, please explain it, because I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, Mark, you pick the damn movie. You explain it.
Joe, explain it then. I don't know.
I did explain it. I read the synopsis right at the beginning before we started talking about it.
You didn't read it all. Again, it was like a fucking novel. It was a fucking novel, Joe. It kept going and going. And I lost
my
interest.
Notes is hot. I'm rolling my eyes, and we're only in the prologue. It was my second note.
I mean, when you get something like that, you're pretty much fucked. And don't tell me that you know. Well, that's what the Lord of the Rings did, because this is longer than the Star Wars crawl. But God damn it. I love you, Joe. Oh,
that's right. Yes. Yes.
It literally is.
Yeah. No, that's
the fucking crawl. I was like, what the
terrible,
fuck?
Terrible.
I was like, how is this happening already? Yeah. And then I was just like, God damn it, Joe. I fucking love you for this, because Christian Slater's in it. So, but the first time, like, I really started to write notes was because the first lay down on Christian Slater's back and he does a floor kick was absolutely amazing.
He's laying completely flat and then finishes a backflip from a flat position on his back on the ground.
It's impossible to do. Bruce Lee can't do that.
My note right there. Bruce Lee couldn't even do that. He's amazing.
He just fucking does it. I'm just like, holy fucking shit. I was like, this, because I remember seeing this like years ago, and I remember it's like, I'll never watch this fucking movie again. Thanks, Joe. The laws of gravity doesn't permit this, and I rewatched the kick like four times to make sure this is what happened. And by the way, he cut the artifact with one hand doing it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking incredible. My problem is why
the pebble from my hand.
Right. My problem is, why did Christian Slater think this long leather overcoat with a black tank top was acceptable. Like, did he pick out this wardrobe? Was this like end of days, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of look? I couldn't imagine him like in this, because I was like, Christian Slater's not that buff. When he takes off his shirt to go to bed, he's kind of buffing it. He's kind of buff. I was like, all right, attaboy, Christian Slater. He worked out for this film, possibly. The Tara Reid and Christian Slater Raiders of the Lost Ark scene. Did any of you guys notice it?
Well, Matt and I happen to be, you know, authorities on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Jason, we are actually. Yeah.
Like, we got invited to the real expertise. Beans.
Yeah, actually, thank you for that segue, Mark, because sure. Joe and I are on the Real Beans podcast talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark, because we're true Raiders of the Lost Ark fans and Indiana Jones fans. So we're going to be on that on June 23rd. The episode comes out. So,
by the way, I am a true Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones fan. I can't believe Benjamin didn't ask me on that show. That's absolutely insane.
Matt, was he on that episode? And I just
no, he wasn't. No,
no, it wasn't on that just episode.
Maybe his mic was having problems or something.
Yeah, probably. It must. Well, no, it wasn't on that episode. Ben was like, you know, I know you two are real Raiders of the Lost fans, so yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark fans. Yeah. So yeah,
he didn't say that. I know.
Yeah, he did.
Anyways,
yes, of course, I noticed the Raiders.
You
of
noticed
the Lost
it, right?
Nod. Yes.
That was insane. That was absolutely insane. My God. Yeah, the special effects, the CGI was absolutely horrible. I mean, this director was going for an Aliens vibe, apparently. You know, you got the Marine soldiers, but they're all like special agents. They all look in this like horrible in these plastic armor. They all looked alike. They all were buff. They were all gorgeous, and it just didn't work. I don't think I'm ever going to see this film again. Tara Reid was just, her acting alone was absolutely just atrocious, just watching it. And it was just fun to watch her just like, I don't even know if she was like trying to act in this.
She's the Christian Slater of actresses.
The easy, man. No,
that's almost an insult to Christian Slater.
Yeah, don't say that. Look, I wasn't a fan of it. I was tuning out at the end. I couldn't believe like how far this was going. Stephen Dorff with the detonators, and I'm out of range. I'm gonna run back, and then he doesn't die at the end. He survives, but you don't know what happens to him.
Spoiler.
There is
people are going to be dying to watch this movie.
I know. There is a sequel to this, and of course, Christian Slater's not in it, and they have some other actor.
He's got standards.
I don't do
sequels. I just do the shitty first ones.
Yeah, has Christian Slater ever done a sequel? I don't think he has.
Well, he did Hollow Man 2. But it wasn't a sequel to his own movie.
Yeah, he does other people's sequels.
Yeah. So he followed up Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Sure, I can do the Kevin Bacon. It's fine with me. I might as well.
Holy fuck, Matt's eyebrows.
Matt's a lot better Christian Slater than you, Mark.
Shut up, Catherine. No, he's got the eyebrows. Like, that was like really impressive. His eyebrows look like Christian Slater's. You know, by the way, a little tidbit about Christian Slater's eyebrows. The reason why his eyebrows look like that is because when he was a young kid, he was a Star Trek fan, and he shaved his eyebrows to look like Spock, and they basically stayed that way.
That's funny you say that, because all the research that I found said that he disproved that on a talk show in the 90s.
Bullshit.
Uh-uh.
You're a bullshit artist. No, uh-uh. Really?
No, and stop making references to that shit movie. Catherine, the voice of reason. Catherine, what did you have to say?
She loved it.
Ooh, no, I this was definitely my least favorite of the three. I only have four notes because, like Matt, I think about half an hour in, I completely just, I gave up. So my first note is the opening crawl goes on way too long. The gun shooting POV at the beginning was an interesting choice. That's a fun, director's choice to make, where you're following the bullet out of the gun. Then I wrote down, I have no clue what's going on. I went to IMDb to look for clarification and found in the trivia that no one knows what's going on in this movie. And then in the autopsy scene, they remove this thing from the guy. I was like, oh, he's got a tingler in him. And that's about all I wrote. After that, I kind of stopped paying any attention, and I have no idea what this movie was about.
Okay, I took like 40 notes, but I'm not going to go through all of them.
Please do.
I thought that, you know, when Christian Slater gets out of the cab that he's in is cab number 237, which is an obvious reference to The Shining, yes, as we all know. And of course, like what Mark said, he did a complete backflip from laying down flat on the ground. So Christian Slater was supposed to be boyfriend, girlfriend with Tara Reid, and she thought he was lost or gone for like 3 months. They hadn't seen her, like, to the point where the security guard was like, he messed up and he mentioned her boyfriend in front of her and he felt like an ass. And then when they finally reunite and it's the end of the night, and they go their separate ways, they shake hands like any loving couple would, of course, mm-hmm. do. Nobody does a flying karate kick like Christian Slater, not even Bruce Lee. I love how, like what Matt said, the girl in the chair from Bureau 713 at HQ has got her hat on backwards because that's what a 4-year-old boy would think she would do, who probably wrote this movie to begin with. I do want to mention that this actually received a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it would not have fit in our Absolute Zero episode.
Yes, I saw the 1%.
I was Stephen Dorff with that hand grenade at the end. He had every opportunity to throw that hand grenade in and close the door and run away. Chose not to. Thought that was odd. The escape hatch. So they're in this giant underground world where all these like possessed demons and other entities live. When they finally escape and they crawl up through the escape hatch, they just open up like a cellar door. And it's in the backyard of the orphanage that he happened to grow up in. That was such a coincidence. It was amazing. Yeah. And then, of course, he witnesses sister Clara's death. Like he's walking through the orphanage, which is completely abandoned. And this nun is laying there on the ground. The nun that raised him, she's laying there on the ground with blood just pooling out of her head. No explanation at all as to how or why.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I miss something. If you guys know it, please let me know.
No,
but I do.
Okay.
I do.
And then they start walking through the town and the entire town is evacuated. And I'm curious as to why and on whose authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was happening up above when they were, you know, saving humanity underneath? And just because we were talking about sequels, the sequel to this, Alone in the Dark 2 from 2008, starring Lance Henriksen, Bill Moseley, Danny Trejo, PJ Souls, and Jason Connery. Yep, Sean's son.
Oh, fuck.
We might have to watch that.
We may have to watch this one.
We might have to watch it. I do know, yeah. Joe. Sure. The reason why, because they were children when they had all that back implant stuff from the orphanage. That's where they got the Christian Slater when he was like younger and all that. And they were, it was connected to where all that surgery was done.
Okay. So do you know why the nun died?
No, oh, I don't. Okay. No.
All right. Well, let's, let's put that one to bed and go onward and yet upward.
Yes.
To 2012's Rites of Passage.
God,
because, you know, I can't get enough Stephen Dorff. And the only thing to make this better than Christian Slater and Stephen Dorff, add a little Wes Bentley.
Right?
Yeah.
P2's Wes Bentley.
P2's.
Yes. P2's Jesus Christ.
Wes Bentley. Came down from heaven to star in this film as well.
But so, hang on, Joe, yeah. before you start, did you know that Stephen Dorff was in both of these films when you picked them?
I did, because I actually had a list of like 6 Christian Slater movies to choose from. And this is one of the last ones that I picked, only because Stephen Dorff's in both of them. So it's got to be good.
And none of those the reason why we watch Rites of Passage.
Matt, the others that I didn't pick were not as good.
Jesus. I can't imagine that's the case.
Holy fuck.
So 2012's Rites of Passage, an anthropology student invites his classmate and his professor and a whole bunch of online bimbos, it turns out, as well. Sorry, spoiler alert. To his family's abandoned ranch, once a sacred Chumash burial ground.
Yeah.
Sure. It doesn't matter. Cause they want to recreate an ancient ceremony. Cause that's of course what I would do, is have a big party at my parents' ancient Indian burial ground and invite my college professor. So, Mark, why don't you start this one off?
It's 90210, horror film. I mean, that's what I just thought of, like, all the way through. It's like 90210, like season 4. They're all in college. They're all beautiful. You know, they're all partying and whatnot. There's, you know, relationships going on. I do have to say, this movie took way too long to get started, you know, to get like rolling, as some people say. It took too long. I thought the editing was absolutely just horrendous, where they just kept going back and forth, and you didn't really, I couldn't understand like what the director was like going for all this. Like,
he didn't know either.
Yeah, I don't think so. I do have to say, Wes Bentley's brother, was, I thought, really decent. I thought he was a decent actor. I actually enjoyed his acting.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And he was actually okay. Actually, like, somebody...
The acting wasn't bad in this.
The acting wasn't bad. Yeah. No, I mean,
that wasn't the problem, except for one person was terrible in this. But.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That girl that just, like, likes to run her mouth.
No.
No,
well, Mark, I'm with you on that.
No, Matt, don't say Christian Slater.
his wig was bad.
Right? His wig was horrible. So yeah, it. I mean, this movie took like a long time to just get started, whatever. And I do have to say, the sock monkey was the charm of this whole entire film. I love the sock monkey. I don't know what it was. I don't know who was voicing it. I think it was Christian Slater.
I tried to find out too. I couldn't get an answer on that one.
It sounded like Christian Slater. It really did. He's like, no, don't do it. I don't know. It was great.
Did Christian Slater just join this podcast?
Did he just pop in here?
Wow, I don't know exactly where that came from. It was amazing.
Thank you. I do
you do
really
a great
good.
Christian Slater doing Pancho.
Yeah, Pancho's great. I don't know. It's just Christian Slater smoking crack, and then he sees Pancho, the sock monkey, like, you know, just hanging on to his rifle. I thought it was charming. I thought it was hysterical. Other than that, it just, the acting's not bad. I really enjoy the acting, and I was kind of intrigued. You know, it's like when they're all drugged, and it's like, that would be a great premise of a horror film if they're all on peyote and they're all just like high, and then, you know, shit's going down. It unfortunately, it just wasn't done well. And, but I thought that was kind of like an interesting premise. What?
No, I'm just looking at Matt.
I actually pissed
off for just being here.
No, I'm not pissed. This was just a soul crushing movie for me.
No. I think this was my second favorite out of the three. I I actually kind of liked it. I thought it was kind of charming. I hated the ending with Christian Slater like running away and all that. And it had just cut. I was just like, God, that was fucking horrible. But it was my second favorite out of all of them. So I don't recommend it, but I had a good time kind of watching it. It was just, you know, frolicking on the beach, and then they all got high on peyote, and there's pretty girls running around dressed in Aztec and makeup and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
All right, Christian Catherine, was great. What did you think?
The moral of this movie is don't do drugs.
Shame
or steal cable.
Like everything was fine until they all got high. And what the heck is going on with this teacher and his students? Like,
yeah.
First off, okay, he's having the romantic affair with one of his students that you see at the beginning. And then Wes Bentley's brother comes up to him and says, hey, my dad owns this land with the Indians that were studying in class. Want to come and look around this weekend? He's like, great. And they get all their classmates together and it becomes an orgy. And I'm like, what the hell class trip is this? That was just bizarre to me. A crazy Christian Slater in this, that was he's such a badass in the first two movies, and this was the third one I saw, and it's like, oh, we get the crazy Christian now. I like they made a more cowbell joke. What he needs is more cowbell. I was like, okay. I will say that the trivia from IMDb on this one I found quite interesting, and I will give kudos to this film. They actually did research on the Chumash tribe. They had a representative from the tribe there while they were filming, and all the people that portrayed the Native Americans were actually Native Americans, so there was no cultural appropriation in this film. So two thumbs up on that. But yeah, you're right. The ending is stupid. It just kind of falls apart at the end. I was kind of with it a little bit. I was curious to see where it went. And then it just kind of all fell apart. Yeah, I agree with Mark. My second favorite of the three. Still kind of dumb.
All right, Matt, you're up.
Well, I mean, I guess one of these has to be your second favorite of the three, so I suppose. But this
not
was
high
like
praise.
Maybe a fingernail clipping away from whatever the dark one. In fact, they all kind of are bleeding into it to me. I have no notes on this. I found this movie soul crushing. I would love to talk to these Chumash people and see what they thought of the end result. Like, when it was done, I can't imagine that they weren't embarrassed that they were a part of this and slightly offended by what happened in this movie. This was the one I was sitting here this afternoon finishing it up thinking, how much longer do I want to do this podcast? I was starting to have thoughts like that. And I think the last time I felt that way was maybe less than zero, or maybe that was the Corey episode. I don't know. But I didn't find any of these like so bad they were good. I just found them so bad I couldn't. I was really struggling to get through all of them. And this one was, I was lucky to get through it. The Christian Slater character is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking seen in my life. It's so bad. And he doesn't have the skill to turn it into something interesting. I could see Nicolas Cage in this role and it would be equally bad, but he'd at least do something with it that would make it watchable and kind of interesting. This is just a guy who's just doesn't have much range trying to do something that he's out of his skill set. And then the sock puppet with the horrible 90s Mexican gangster imitation accent was just, I don't know. The character, when I say that the actor, you know, because I think Mark mentioned this, and I don't think the problem with this movie is the acting, because I feel like the actors did as much with it as they could. I mean, Wes Bentley is freaking Wes Bentley. He's just always that guy. But that, you know, the others, I felt like they were really trying to do more with what they had, but they just didn't have much. The dialogue wasn't as bad as what was the last one? Dark something in the dark. Something in the dark.
Alone in the dark.
Alone in the dark. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as that. But it wasn't great either. And I still don't quite know what the whole point of Wes Bentley's thing was. And for a while, did you guys have this experience too, or was I just sort of zoning in and out? Did you think that maybe Christian Slater's character wasn't a real person and he was just sort of like a figment of Wes Bentley's imagination?
You know, something my husband mentioned, he thought this would be a lot better if maybe those two characters were combined.
Yeah.
Whereas like one character has a split personality. Yeah.
Well, for a while I thought that that's what was happening. And then somebody interacted with him and said, oh, who's the, you know, I might've been the mouthy girl that winds up getting crushed or whatever.
And I don't understand why he's there. Like,
yeah. Well, or what?
Like, I know he's friends with the brother, but why is he there?
But then the
whole Wes Bentley, he took him in.
Yeah. Right.
Like he just felt sorry for him. So he took him in.
Okay.
To work
but then it was Wes, isn't crack. It Wes Bentley's family's property?
Yeah, he's kind of like a handyman on there because I.
Wes Bentley took him estate. In.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and then but then the scene where at the beginning where Wes Bentley has this girl locked, you know, chained up, and then she
his
escapes.
Future bride. Yeah.
Yes, future bride. Where they then she escapes and they're running through the
greenhouse,
and you see, I'm not sure where Christian Slater was, but he's kind of parallel running alongside them from, but I couldn't tell where he was in relation to them. But, and so it made me think, oh, maybe he is a figment of Wes Bentley's or maybe a personality or something like that. But no, then that mouthy girl was like, oh, is this your creepy uncle? You know? And she, oh my God, that girl.
Yeah.
They had to cut. They needed to tone down her dialogue because she Holy was shit. Just going on and on and then saying, you know, she was being all really like homophobic and everything. It was just a really bizarre thing. By the end of it, and I think that I should have maybe watched it yesterday or something because I think part of my mood has been affected by this movie. I just hated it so much.
So you were in a bad mood when you watched it.
I was a bad mood after I watched it. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have some notes. I really wish Tara Reid would have been in this one too. That would have been perfect.
What a geez.
Again, my biggest pet peeve in all of these movies, not these movies, but all movies.
Oh,
in
and
general,
can you believe this movie came out in 2012?
No.
I thought this seemed like a 2002 movie.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like an early 2000s.
It's like 90210, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's the use or over expectational use of chloroform in any film. Like at the minute you smell it, it's like you're going to go unconscious. When they start drawing the word creeper on Wes Bentley's face when he passes out at that party, which I don't know how he even got there. The scene, he just like splashes some water on his face. And then he goes to check on his new bride and it's all gone. But after he like turned away from the sink, it still says creeper all over it. So
and
I don't,
it looked like they wrote creper.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think like spelling creeper. Was an issue in there.
Yeah.
Don't forget the scene where they're playing football in the ocean. Cause that just made me think Maverick.
Yeah,
it was like what an homage. If it was, I'm sure
that's why Mark liked
homage.
It. All these guys with their shirts off playing
Mark
a ball.
Maverick was paying
Maverick
homage
was
to
afterwards.
This film. Yeah.
Maverick was afterwards. Yeah. Guys, come on.
Yeah.
Well, but Top Gun.
Well, that's
that was volleyball.
But anyway, I was so glad. I have a note here. I was so glad when Christian Slater finally punched that mouthy girl squirrel in the face.
Thank God.
After the campfire scene. Oh, okay. So. In a nutshell, and yeah, I'm spoiling this, but don't worry, nobody's going to watch it. So Christian Slater's character is basically all messed up and he's doing gack or whatever the hell he's growing back there. And it's because his wife and son were killed in a car accident. And we find out later that the person that was drunk driving the car is our main hero guy's, like, his infatuation, this girl that's at this party.
All right.
There's a point where all of this Indian burial stuff doesn't matter. And it simply just turns into a revenge film where Christian Slater just starts killing all of these college kids. There's your movie. That's where it should have been good. I didn't need to see anything about these girls being like cam girls or any of that other stuff about the college. I cared nothing about any of that.
There were a lot of subplots that just didn't matter. And this was this movie was too long. It's like 2 hours, 40 minutes at least. Yeah.
No,
hours and 40 minutes.
I mean, I meant 1 hour.
It was 1 hour. It wasn't 43 that. Minutes.
It felt 240.
No, it did. No, Matt's right. It did. But no, like, you're right, Joe. It was more interesting when it kind of felt like a slumber party massacre.
Right.
At a certain point when they were all high. And I thought that was going to be like that's an interesting thing. They're all high on peyote. It could have been kind of like a little bit of a comedy. And like these kids running into, you know, the doors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This could have been a way better movie, but they just went into this like mythology of, you know, shaman and all that kind of stuff. It was all over the place. Yeah.
If they had, and if they shorted it down and condensed
it and just did that, that would have, it would have been a much more interesting film. Make it into a slasher.
The guy that wrote this, Peter Iliff, he wrote Point Break, Varsity Blues, and Patriot Games.
No.
Yeah. All three of those. And then he writes this.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, I thought that once they got to the camp, I was like, maybe this will turn into a slasher and it won't be so bad. But it never did, really.
Yeah.
And they just kept having Wes Bentley standing outside looking in the window. And you got were like close-ups of him looking in the window with his creepy Wes Bentley eyes. Yeah.
I think he was looking at that bag floating in the wind.
Jeez. No, but seriously, like that one, Wes Bentley's brother, I thought he was a really decent actor. Just, I mean, I was mesmerized him brushing his teeth. You know, I was just like, brushing his teeth like seem like he was acting. I don't know.
There was an award for teeth brushing on film. I know who
he impressed me. He really impressed me. I don't know what the guy's name is, but if he's listening, kudos to you. With his
dental hygiene.
Yeah, good job with that toothbrushing.
It was good.
All right, so we're gonna go to the crown jewel next of this trifecta of Christian Slater. Of course, I'm talking about Mindhunters, which I found out and then did listen to. If anybody's familiar with the podcast, How Did This Get Made? They just recently did this on an episode in the past couple months.
Rennie Harlan,
who did Cliffhanger, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Die Hard 2, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Deep Blue Sea, which is obviously explains his connections with LL Cool J, our star of this film. So this is about
Ford Fairlane.
Great movie. That is a great movie.
Jesus Christ.
I'll stand by Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
You can That's stand a funny you movie. Want. I've never you seen it.
Stand away from me.
It's a funny movie.
So a group of FBI trainees are taken to a remote island for a simulation training. However, once they're there, they realize that they are being hunted by a serial killer who might be someone among them. If only they were profilers who could figure out who's really doing all the killing. So, plot twist. Catherine, what'd you think about this?
All right. So I all three of these movies were bad, but this one I kind of enjoyed. It was almost so bad it's good. This is one I could see watching again at some point in time. I enjoyed it. It was stupid. These are definitely the worst FBI agents ever. when the opening sequence, they show up at this house, this dilapidated house, and we get the impression that there are people being held hostage inside. And so they're going through trying to, you know, find whoever it is. My favorite part was, you know, they find the dead bodies of the people and like, oh, the house is secure. And it's like, how's the house secure? You guys didn't check the whole house. And then, of course, you know, they get killed. It's just, they're so bad. It was such a surprise Val Kilmer's in this movie. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know how they got him in this. Get a great Christian Slater in the shower scene in here. So for all the ladies looking for that, you get naked Christian Slater. It's got some fun kills. I will say I enjoyed the kills in this movie quite a bit. Especially the Domino's Christian Slater death. I wrote, that was a cool surprise.
God. Oh, okay. Matt, find it. Oh, find it, Matt.
Yeah, give it to her.
Holy shit.
Good Lord.
And then I loved.
Yeah,
okay, fair enough.
Give it to her.
But I love. I think I wrote down LL's last lines. He accuses the female agent of hitting like a girl, and then says, "Oh, I found his weakness: bullets."
Oh God. Oh fuck.
Oh man, that's all you need to know about this movie. No. It was I enjoyed it. It was stupid, but it was kind of so good. It's fun, stupid. Like I could see this being a good kind of Riff Trax Mystery Science Theater type film where you kind of make fun of it as you're watching it. So you know, I didn't mind this one. This one, Joe, you get a one thumb up on this one.
All right, Matt, you're up.
Let's see. At the beginning, Christian Slater comes up to the car that the girl is like sleeping in and rubs his hand along the car and along the window. And I was like, what's this about? Is he the killer? You know, at the beginning, he's not. It's just, I don't know why they did that. It was very strange.
To scare you.
The editing in this movie is really not great. And then this training situation at the very beginning, the whole setup of the thing is this elaborate training situation that obviously is set up to fool an audience, not as an actual training situation that makes any sense whatsoever. And why does Val Kilmer have a fucking cake at the crime scene or at this training scene thing? That made no sense. And Mark says it's a prop. Okay.
It's his birthday.
This group is supposed to be super genius mind hunters. They all look like idiots. She didn't see a dead cat hanging there when she walked into the locker room. the cat was like hanging right where she was standing. You had to have walked right by it. This is one of those situations where people just appear in a scene because the camera's on them at that moment. There was no way they walked into the scene. I wrote that this is terrible. The dialogue is awful. I did have more notes on this. So this was approaching so bad it's good, but not quite there, but it was approaching it at least compared to these others. This is like a fucking masterpiece compared to the other two. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, who's the next motherfucker to go, was a line in this movie.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Sometimes the camera movement, I just wrote, the camera movement makes no sense. Sometimes there's zooms into people's faces for no apparent reason. I'm not sure what the reason was other than they were just trying out some tricks. It kind of came off after once we got in there, it was sort of kind of a half-assed Saw ripoff, really, in some ways, but they didn't commit to that. I could get behind a Saw ripoff, but they didn't quite commit to it.
This is 2004, by the way.
Oh, is it? Oh, so is that before Saw?
No, that wasn't my point. I was talking about the other one that we just watched that was in Rites of Passage was 2012. So this was eight years before Rites of Passage.
Right. So this makes sense that it came from out that time. Rites of Passage looks like a movie that was made at that time, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, at some point he paused to say a catchphrase. I guess I just wrote that down, but I don't remember. At another point, a character tells everyone the Roanoke story, and I'm thinking, none of these people know the Roanoke story. And then somebody else walks up to him and says, "It troubles me you know that story." I'm like, that is a story that we've heard about like in grade school. The Roanoke story is not like some weird story that only obscure story that nobody's ever heard of.
By the way, Saw was also 2004.
There's a fully functioning blood lab on this island for no apparent reason, and one that has DNA capabilities, apparently. That's not a common thing. So all these people basically failed. They are all shooting, and they keep shooting the dummies that pop up. And I'm like, well, if this was a training exercise, you all just failed because you're shooting every innocent person that pops up in the training obstacle course. The underwater gunfight was thrilling. That was so thrilling. Ridiculous. And the fight scenes in this, the choreography for the fight scenes was just brutally bad. Terrible fight scenes.
Rennie Harlan.
Having said all that, yes, it was the best of the three. I did hold out hope that the other two would be that kind of fun too. And I don't know if I'd say it was fun, but it had some moments it wasn't unwatchable. I'll say that.
All right, Mark, last thoughts.
Yeah, it's, NCIS on steroids, I guess. I never watched an episode of NCIS. First thing I thought was Miramax and Dimension produced. Hell yeah, we got a shot for a mediocre movie, possibly. And then, this was the first movie I watched, and the fact that the first lines were from Christian Slater, and he's talking in his Christian Slater voice and accent, I stopped and wrote everything I just said right now. I said, because God damn it, I love Christian Slater and I love you, Joe, for making me smile. So thank you, Joe, because I was smiling ear to ear and I was just giddy watching this fucking, this whole episode has been a gift for me. I don't care. It's not a bad cast. This cast is kind of stacked with some great character actors. I have a problem with the editing. It's janky. It's all over the place. It started with the helicopter flying to the island. It looked or seemed more like a Michael Bay picture, like The Rock. And then I was just starting to get worried. I mean, the cats walking all over the place, the shower scene with Christian Slater, probably one of the greatest ass an actor ever has. It's a perfect ass. I don't care. Yeah, it's like the first 15 minutes seemed okay, not solid, but okay. But then it happens. Christian Slater dies at 32 minutes and 15 seconds. like, what the fuck, Joe? We have an hour and 13 minutes and 46 seconds to go without the main reason we're watching this movie. So fuck you on that. I mean, I get it. Kill the one person you think that will die and it won't. You know, it'll put you off guard, but my God, this movie goes off rails right after Slater dies. The shoulder wound is brutal, and how he's upright cracking jokes is absolutely crazy. The electric scene was a scene. I don't know. I mean, it's Rennie Harlan. I didn't know what was happening. It's like, this seems so familiar. I was like, this kind of seems like Deep Blue Water. And then I realized at the end of the film, it's directed by Rennie Harlan. I was like, holy fuck. And Deep Blue Sea. And yeah, it was basically Rennie Harlan. When they're doing the blood test, the music was the original music from the Spider-Man trailer, the original Spider-Man. It's the same music, just in case you guys didn't know. I picked it up. other than that, yeah, it's I'll never watch this film again. But thanks, Joe. Thanks for Christian Slater. I appreciate it.
I wanted to point out, so the
doesn't scene, sound anything like him.
Would you fuck it?
The scene where Christian Slater dies. Sorry, spoiler alert. Although we've talked about it like three times so far, with the liquid nitrogen tank shooting at his legs. My number one question, first and foremost, I saw that scene scrolling through Facebook, and that is the whole genesis of this pick. I saw that. I'm like, oh, I've got to see that movie. The minute I found out it was a horror film, I'm like, we're watching this. My question was, why didn't he simply just move out of the way?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
At Christ best, stuck.
At best, it would have like frozen his jeans.
Yeah.
But, you know, or he could have even just fallen over to the side and he wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
You know, that was just really, really far-fetched. However, my favorite scene is when LL Cool J takes the gun away from the guy in the wheelchair, because that just seems so cruel. It was like, walking up to a turtle and flipping him over on his back and then laughing at him.
Fuck the handicap.
My problem with this movie is, like, at the beginning, Val Kilmer is yelling at these guys because of tactical mistakes that they made. They're not tactical. They're profilers. I mean, these are the people that should, I always thought profilers were the ones that are like sitting back in the office, looking through the psychological profiles of things. They're not the ones at the front line. Like, if you think about the movie Seven,
right,
the detectives are the profilers, and was it John C. McGinley? He's the tactical guy. He's the one breaking down the door. Dicks go last, you know? So these, I don't know why they're still referring to these people as, or these, they're being criticized for being profilers. I didn't get it. They're more detectives, but anyway, there's so much bravado in this film. The crime fighting forensics montage was just enough to make you sick. Let's do some science and get some,
let's science this up.
The cigarette death looked pretty gnarly. Although I don't know how LL Cool J could have determined that there was some sort of acid on the cigarette from his perspective, which was about 200 yards away.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I will say I'm glad that they pointed out that that was Val Kilmer who was strung up like a puppet, because it did look that really right. did not look like Val Kilmer. Although I will applaud the jump scare that they did when they started making the puppet move, you know. And I have in my head, Rennie Harlan probably had this conversation. Oh, I got a great idea. In this fight scene, let's rip off LL Cool J's jacket so we can see his muscles. Because I can't think of any other reason why that part had to happen. And Johnny Lee Miller really needs to land on one accent and stick with it through the film.
Yes. Yeah, his accent was all over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I will give it to him, he can really hold his breath. Because he and Sarah were under that water for quite an awful long time.
They sure were. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt the need to fast forward it a bit. So
at least the bullets were like realistic. It's like, you know, you're shooting underwater. Shroom, they go down, you know, I mean, that's realistic.
And
they just
keep shooting over and over and over again.
Well, it didn't, until it didn't work up. That time. Yeah. So it might work this time.
Maybe if I aim higher. Again.
Yeah.
Although I did think it was kind of funny that the standoff where they both have the guns pointed above their head, waiting for someone to finally.
Right. Know. Yeah.
There's no way you could get out of that other than, I don't know, swim to the right or left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could just take the chance. The fact that he's going to be able to hit you and have the right aim from under here.
Yeah.
You know.
Without even looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Catherine, I too had my last note, of course, is, guess we found his weakness, bullets. Signed, LL Cool J.
Oh, God.
Just tremendous.
Dear God.
So there you have it. That's That's a clean slater right there.
Well, I do know that in your future, Joe, there is going to be an episode werewolf found footage from something that we have.
Yeah, I'm expecting that. It.
That's what's keeping me living.
Wait. Let me try another Christian Slater accent. Ready? Okay.
Can you mute him, Matt?
Yeah, no, please. Wait. I'm not sinning because I'm not staying. I ain't looking at the movie because I already seen it 7 years ago. Smack. Max Julian, Carol Speed, and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, Mark, you're going to listen to this and hear your accent, and you're going to be like, oh, fuck.
I'm just nervous. I do a really good job.
Yeah.
He's under pressure.
Yeah. All right. I'll stop. Do a Christian Slater accent. Actually, Matt, yours is pretty good. And your eyes like go up like Christian Slater.
I don't know. I don't know his line. I don't know any
Mark,
Christian Slater.
Mark, do a quote from Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Another fucking Heather.
How
about Dolan's Cadillac?
I can only do Jack. Or my attempt at Jack anyway. I don't know if I can do a Christian Slater. So I guess the next episode is that's all me just trying to check. I can't do Christian Slater. All right, Catherine, what is your next pick? Is our next pick? And go ahead, tell us what it is.
Lift us up.
All right. Well, hopefully this will be a fun one. I'm calling it Malpractice Makes Perfect. And we're going to be watching Dr. Giggles from 1992,
oh,
which
nice.
Is on Tubi. We're watching The Dentist from 1996, Corbin which is also Burton? On Tubi.
Catherine, yes.
Oh, we watched that.
No, we didn't.
No.
Didn't we watch the Corbin Burton?
I checked the IMBD before I did this, and there was a not listed.
We didn't do it.
And then finally, The Surgeon from 1995. This one is a rental.
The Surgeon? Who's the surgeon? Man?
I don't know.
Okay.
So we watched another Corbin Burnson horror movie because there was something else that I think Joe picked one time.
I don't think we've ever. Check it up, Joe. Look it up.
I already looked up The Dentist and it's not on.
No?
There.
Okay.
No, right. Yeah. No, we haven't done The Dentist.
All right. Well, those are the picks for now next time. And, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Joe's got some new, and actually don't just check out our merchandise. Go there to check out our IMBD, not IMDB. It's IMBD in mockery of super fan Mark who can't say IMDB.
IMBD.
Yeah, that's not right. IMDB is the official one.
Fuck.
Hey Matt, it was Marshmallow. Corbin Burnson was in Marshmallow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But I feel like there was something else where he was a doctor that we've watched. But I guess it was that, right? Was he a doctor in?
No,
in
he was Marshmallow? He was a grandfather. It was his grandson that went off to camp.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen The Dentist, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Excellent. All right. Well, I guess. I don't think we have anything else, right? No.
Nope.
So I guess that's it for this time, and we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night and salutations.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
When he takes off his shirt to go to bed, he's kind of buff in it. He's kind of buff. I was like, all right, atta boy, Christian Slater. It's the shower scene with Christian Slater, probably one of the greatest ass an actor ever has. It's a perfect ass. I don't care.